This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
For the 23-24 season, the West Ham Way is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Green King Sport's venues are showing every televised West Ham fixture over the course of the season. So instead of turning to the internet for a dodgy stream, get your mates together and get down to your local Green King pub and get closer to the action. This season, Green King have launched the Green King Sport Instagram page, which will be home to fan content, deals and competitions throughout the season. They've already given away Champions League final tickets and signed shirts, so you don't want to miss out. Drop them a follow on Instagram and you won't just be the first to know about all this, you'll be helping out the West Ham Way.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. This week we reflect on two much-needed wins, the outstanding James Ward-Prowse, Antonio being dropped, Souček's controversial goal celebration, Lucas to the rescue on Thursday, Mad Dog breaking a two-minute silence on Sunday, why we are leaking so many goals and forthcoming events before getting news from X and answering questions from Patreons of the West Ham Way. This week we reflect on two wins, one on Thursday, one on Sunday. Let's start with Forrest. Give us your thoughts.
I'm pleased we got the win, obviously, as we all should be. I doubt there are some out there that are pleased, but yeah, majority of West Ham fans would be. I think it was a good performance. I wouldn't say a great performance, because at times, you know, our defending wasn't great, and you know, there was periods where we weren't creating much, but on the whole, it was a good win, an important win. You know, we sit ninth in the Premier League now. Against this break, most of us would have been happy, I would say, with a ninth place league position, quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup, and sitting top of our European group. You know, that is good with all things considered. You know, in terms of sixth place, which I think realistically is as top as we could aim for, with 4 points off it, you know. So in the grand scheme of things, it was an important result. You know, we needed to get a win. We need to beat little teams like Forest at home if we're going to achieve anything this season, and we did. And you know, it's a happy day. I'm pleased. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, we couldn't have asked for a better start, could we? And it's good to see Lucas back dancing like a prime Dave Walker at Faces circa 2001. but I've got to be honest with you, X. I mean, after a start like that, I want us to push for a second and a third. You know, I don't want to see us sit back and invite the opposition back into the game. And I think that is a frustration a lot of West Ham fans have, because we're better than doing that. Do you know what I mean? We could have forced it more and forced their hand. And I don't really understand why we do that. So I wasn't the happiest at halftime, I'll be honest. But to our credit, as we often don't in second halves, if you look at recent history, we did come out in the second half, worked hard, showed desire, showed some quality. And I think we got the win we deserved, really and truly. And a massive contributing factor to that win was James Ward-Prowse. He was given man of the match, 2 assists from him, 9 this season in all competitions, more than any other Premier League player. He's got to be the best at set pieces since David Beckham, and he ex.
Well, there was a stat on a Match of the Day too. I don't know if you saw it. I've got into the habit now of watching the West Ham games back before we do the podcast now, because obviously I'm always at the game and I only see the action live. I don't see replays. So I've got into the habit of it. And on Match of the Day, they showed a stat. So I can't remember from what period of time it was, but assists from set pieces, since something like 2022, and he was way ahead, 17. I think he had way ahead of the next man. Guess who the next man was?
I know the answer. It's Aaron Creswell.
It is. Yeah, there you go. So, and Jarrod Bowen was also in that list. So it's amazing to see how far ahead he is on those assists. And, you know, it is such a thing, because those assists are just chances created. They're chances that have led to goals. So, you know, obviously it's, a lot of them are for Southampton as well. But if you think he's made 17 goals from set plays in the last year or whatever it was, that's just an amazing statistic. You know, because if he can do that for the next 2-3 years, think how many goals he's brought. And I also believe that he's a much better all-round player than he's ever given credit for. And I think that benefited West Ham, because I think that's probably one of the reasons that not many other clubs, if any clubs, were interested in signing him for the price we paid. But I think they overlooked that. I think you get a set piece king is the best way to describe him, because his stats are that indicate towards that. But you also get a very hard working, all round decent central midfield player. And I was very pro us signing him, and I'm pleased that that was the right inclination to have, because I think he's been a very, very good signing for us.
But you can't put a price on good set pieces. You just can't. I mean, it's worth more than £35 million. He is absolutely lethal with a dead ball. And that's why I referenced David Beckham, because there's a lot of similarities, you know, in terms of that delivery, the whip, the accuracy, the consistency. And it's just such a nice feeling every time you get a corner or a free kick outside the box, that level of excitement you feel that something could genuinely happen. I mean, Krez, as that stat suggests, was outstanding at corners and set pieces, but not to the level of James. Right. I mean, he is absolutely superb. And that is an interesting stat, and courtesy of our very own Dan Wofford. And I've got some more stats for you, because during that game, I can tell you that James had a 94% pass accuracy, 91 touches in total, 17 final third passes, 5 chances created, 2 big chances created, and of course, 2 assists. And I think it also highlights the importance of Alvarez being back in the side, because when he is, it allows James the freedom to play that way.
Yeah, I like Alvarez, and I like his... for me, you just give him a very simple role. His simple role is sit in front of the defence. You're between the midfield and the defence. You're there basically to break up play, be a physical presence, get stuck in, get the ball back and give it to other players, and just don't overcomplicate the role. You know, I think with Declan, we had that, and then we started to overcomplicate it by allowing him runs and free range and so on and so forth. I don't think we need to do that with Alvarez. Just let him sit deep. And, you know, the guy is good on the ball as well. It's not like all he can do is tackle and be a physical presence. He can get on the ball and lay it off to people well. And I think all of the signings, credit to whoever you want to credit for these signings, and there's a mixture of who that should be credited, but regardless of who it's down to, if you look at Mavropanos, I think he's, you know, obviously he scored an own goal, but I think he's looked solid from the majority of the games he's played. Ward-Prowse has been an amazing signing. Alvarez, a very, very, very good signing. Obviously, Kudos has been a great signing as well. So the recruitment this summer has been brilliant. I think we need to add to it in January, because we lack a striker, an out-and-out striker. But the players that we did bring in, all of them have been great signings. And yes, Alvarez, as you call him, or Alvarez, however you pronounce it, is a great addition to the squad, definitely.
Yeah, and going back to JWP, I mean, if he played for Liverpool, Arsenal, City or Man United, would he be in the England squad now, do you think?
I think so, yeah. There's always a bias towards those players that play for the bigger clubs, isn't there? I mean, although Declan did get into the England squad with us, look how much more he's praised now for his overall play, and everyone say how brilliant he is. He hasn't changed. All right, he might have slightly better players around him and stuff, but he was that good at West Ham. But because he's doing it for Arsenal, people talk about it a lot more. And it's the same with other players, once they start playing a few times for, you know, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, whoever, they're immediately in Southgate's thought process. Whereas at West Ham, it takes you a lot longer to get in there. And, I just think it, like you say, if all he did, you know, it's a bit like Rory Delap, you know, back in the heyday where he was so useful because he has that long throw. You know, he wasn't a great player, nowhere near as good as Ward-Prowse. He was an okay player, but he had that feature. So it was worth picking him as your first name on the team sheet. You've got that with Ward-Prowse, but you've also got, as I said before, the all-round game, as those stats that you read out there show. And he had these stats when he was at Southampton. This is what baffles me so much. He was like, well, he covered the most amount of ground in the Premier League or something like that. And, you know, his pass completion was always really high. And so he's always been a good player. But again, I think because he played for Southampton, he was overlooked. And, great. I'm glad he was, because that benefited us. And yeah, and the only thing that's a shame about him is that he's 29. You know, if he was 21, we would have so many years of goals ahead of us with him. But yeah, brilliant signing. And, you know, it was a good result. That ball in for Bowen and for Souček was spot on. And, you know, Thomas missed a couple of chances previous to that. I thought he was ineffective during the game, but once again, he comes out of a crucial moment with his head. You know, I think if he played for Wimbledon in the 90s, when the ball was in the air constantly, he would literally be world class. But unfortunately, the ball was played on the floor, and I think he's ineffective at times. But you can't knock the fella because he gets goals like that win games. And if he continues to do that, then he's worth having in the squad, definitely.
Well, I wasn't sure whether to bring this up, to be honest, because it is a little bit awkward, but I've got to ask you, because really it's unavoidable and you've mentioned him yourself. How do you feel about Souček's celebration?
How do I feel about it? The celebration?
You must have heard what the mics picked up after he'd scored.
Well, I feel very, very happy with the celebration. It was a perfectly justified celebration for that last minute-ish goal. And now I'm buzzing for Thomas.
Well, are you winding me up? Have you actually not heard what the mics picked up after he'd scored?
No, because I'm not winding up. I haven't watched.
Oh, God, this really is awkward. Okay, well, look, I've got a recording and I wasn't going to play this because obviously I thought you'd heard it because everyone's talking about it. But yeah, let me just press play now. This is the microphones picked up when he scored.
Yeah! Hello, left hand man. That was for you, X, you fucking villain!
You honestly haven't... You didn't hear that, no?
No, mate.
I don't know what it is about him, mate. He does seem to have a real bee in his bonnet when it comes to
he
you.
He does. I'm not saying anything that other West Ham fans haven't said either. So, like, it does seem a little bit personal now. But as I've always said, Thomas, I think you have your value. It's just, at times, I feel like you're not involved as much as you should be, and the stats also show that. I think you could make different runs to get into space a bit more and try and be a bit more confident on the ball, but I can't knock the fact that you get important goals with your head and you defend set plays with your head, and you're very brave and you're a very good team player, both on and off the pitch. So yeah, well done. I'm pleased for you.
You know that Thomas isn't actually here, though, X. That was a recording from what the mics picked up. You're not actually talking to Thomas.
No, but he seems to listen to everything I ever say about him, so I'm sure he'll hear that. So, yeah, I'm kind of talking to him in absence, but hoping, knowing that he will know it and he will hear it. He's like our biggest fan. He listens to every fucking thing I say about him.
But interestingly, he chooses to ignore any positives that you put in his way.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Sounds very selective with his listening.
Sounds like certain women I've been out with over my lifetime. Only here when apparently I say something negative. Forget all the compliments that I've given.
Oh, well, Antonio was dropped from the starting lineup, which was the right thing to do, in my opinion. I'm sure most people will agree. Given his attitude when he lost his place to Scamacca, how do you think he feels at the moment?
Well, it's interesting because he did that another one of those podcasts, didn't he? And I actually, for once, thought he said something quite good on that podcast that he did, because he said when he was talking about that miss at Brentford, he said he's been thinking about it over and over and over again, and he can't sleep, and he's been wanting those chances, and then he mucked it up. And I actually thought it was refreshing to see him be quite humble like that. And actually, sounds awful because you don't want to wish hurt upon someone, but good to see that he was depressed about that missed opportunity, because it showed to me that he almost does, like, he does care about those opportunities and that. So I was quite pleased with those comments, and I think judging on those comments, he'll probably have to understand that there was a reason that he has been dropped, and it's because he's missing chances like that. And if he comes back into the team and starts scoring goals, then rightly so, he could consider himself that he wants to be starting. But at the moment, he hasn't scored for a long time, and he hasn't played well for a long time. So it was the right move to make. West Ham won. His replacement scored again, as in Jarrod Bowen. So if he creates a fuss, then I'm sorry, you'll just have to deal with it, because it was the right thing to do. Everyone knows that. It's not like he's been completely frozen out. He's still got, you know, 15 minutes at the end or whatever, but he just needs to get back on form and score when he gets the opportunity, and then maybe he'll get his starting place back. But Moyes has got to manage that. Part of a manager's job is dealing with egos. You get a lot of them in football. Antonio's clearly one. Moyes just has to manage him correctly, and it was correct for him not to start, and correct for him to come on when he did, when we were chasing the game. And I think actually, to give credit to David Moyes, the in-game management, which he's often criticised for, was actually spot on. I was calling for Suchet to get subbed off earlier. He didn't. He stuck with him and he got the winner. So fair play. Antonio came on at the right moment, I think. And people are very quick to criticise Moyes when we don't win, but we've won two games. Yes, they weren't pretty, but, you know, you've played Olympiacos, who are a good side. You know, let's not forget that. They've beaten teams in the Champions League many times before. They are a good side. They're a hard side to play against. It was a tough game. We beat them on Thursday, and then shortly after, we played on Sunday. Forest have had a whole week off, and we got a good win against them as well. So we are managing a much more hectic and compact fixture list than a lot of other teams. And I think, you know, there are times when things are bad, and I've said them and I've made them clear, but I don't think things are as bad as some people would tell you.
Well, I'm going to go through our back four, right, one by one, and you tell me one by one whether you rate them. It's just yes or no, okay? Because there's a question coming up.
Okay, well, I can tell you now, I rate all of them.
Right, so Emerson, Agüero, Zouma, Soufal, you'd say yes to every single one of them.
Yeah.
So why do we concede so many goals?
That's a good question, and it's something that we need to get to the bottom of quickly, because we've gone from being quite solid defensively, something that David Moyes has prided himself on throughout his career, to being quite open. You know, we've let in another two goals. All right, we've won, it hasn't mattered, but we let in another two goals in the league, and it is worrying, and he's got to find a solution very quickly. I can't pinpoint it 100% on something. My suspicions are communication is a factor. I think we've talked about that last week, and I would agree with it again. I mean, there just seems to be a bit of misunderstanding all the time. I say all the time is a bit strong, but there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding. And I think that's probably the factor. And I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint exactly. And I'd be interested to get people's thoughts on that, because, you know, you think, is it a lack of pace in defence? Well, Agüero's known particularly for being fast. You know, Chafal might not be that fast. Emerson seems reasonably quick. Maybe it's a lack of pace, but I'm not sure it's that. In the air, are we dominant enough? I think Zouma's good in the air. Agüero's decent in the air. You know, maybe the wingers aren't tracking back enough to help. You know, when you've got Kudos and Paquetar, like, they started against Forest, are they giving the defence enough help? I don't know. Is there a lot of factors that you to consider? I don't think I could pinpoint on one thing.
Yeah, that's why I asked the question, because I think it's a confusing scenario, really, when you've got a manager that's built a reputation on being so strong defensively, and he builds his style of play around that strength in defence, and he's added Alvarez to protect the defence, and we're talking about four good starting defenders, with a great goalkeeper, by the way, as well. I like Areola a lot. It's a confusing one. Like you, I'm sort of playing a bit of a guessing game. I don't know if it's the style of play. if I'm honest, where you're constantly inviting pressure. And I understand the tactic if you're playing against a top four club. I do. I think it's the right way to approach it. But anyone outside of that, X, I think you look at the quality that he has at his disposal. I think you've got to look to control possession, control the game, and go out there and get the goals and kill the game off. And I just don't think he's brave enough to do that. And that, again, is a frustration when you look at the quality that we have, because I think we're better than that style of play. But, of course, as we've always said, winning is the most important thing. But we are one of only two teams in the top 10 with a minus goal difference as it stands. Do you know who the other one is?
Do I think top 10?
You're giving yourself time to Google now, aren't you?
No, but I'm just trying to work out who's in the top 10. It's got to be, and I haven't honestly haven't Googled that, but it's got to be Man United.
Yeah, correct.
Because I'm thinking of all those other teams, they score, like, you know, it's not going to be Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Tottenham, and so you sort of Villa, it wouldn't be. So yeah, by process of elimination, it's got to be them.
Our times have changed for them. Sad,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it is a win that puts us ninth in the Premier League, and here's what the gaffer had to say post-match.
Boss, that's a lovely way to win a game of football, isn't it?
Oh, great win before we go away in international duty, because it's been a really tough period from the last international week, and then obviously to win today and have a win in midweek against Olympiacos as well. We've finished this, I'm going to call it a month off, really well.
Really resilient in the last half an hour. A lot of teams, having played Thursday, falling behind with 30 minutes to go, you know, the win could have come out of our sails, but it actually made us go again, didn't it?
It did. I thought we actually got better in that period. You know, I thought that we hadn't played well enough in the first half, not quick enough, probably would be a better word. Was it a bit to do with a carryover from the game on Thursday? Could be. Or was it just Nottingham Forest sort of left us on the ball a little bit? And when we had it, I thought we played quite well with the ball, but it was that slow. I was getting bored myself watching it at times. So we wanted them after half time to get much quicker with the ball, faster, you know, try and get more balls in behind them, see if we make more runs behind. And I thought we did, but unfortunately we got done with a wee bit of a sucker punch and we went 2-1 down. But great credit to the lads, especially after midweek, that they picked themselves up and got a result.
Made a huge amount of chances today, which must have pleased you.
I do. I thought we did. I thought in the second half especially we looked more like it. You know, there was things happening. It looked like we could get goals. Thomas Stuchek had two big chances. One hits the bar and the goalie makes another save. But in the end, you know, we got there and we get a couple of brilliant deliveries which got us the goals.
That's 100 wins as a West Ham manager, boss.
Somebody told me I'd done that in midweek.
Okay, well, 101.
101 then, with a bit of luck. So I'd moved on from that. But
I did English instead of maths, boss.
Yeah. So, look, every win you get is important. Yeah. It's really hard to win in the league. Yeah. It's hard to win after coming back from Europe. It really is, and it's, you know, I wish I could put my finger on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is an explanation. If you're playing every 3 days, you get less preparation time, less recovery time. There's a lot of reasons why other teams can be fresher. They can be, you know, they can get more time to tactically prepare. So it's not an excuse. It just is what it is.
It's fact. You know, and in between this, we had a cup tie against Arsenal as well the week before. And
won that as well.
Yeah, and we won that one as well. And we're trying to, we're trying to win all the games that we can, but you know, sometimes, you know, it's right, you know, nobody wins all the games, not even the best teams win all the games.
And Jared, you know, he's playing up front and now he's winning headers in amongst the trees in there.
Well, I don't know if anybody gets a chance to look, but he had one in midweek against Olympiacos, and he nearly does the exact same thing, and hits the defender and goes over the bar, or it was a goal. He's a lot better there than people give him credit for, and his timing and getting in front of people is very good. So I've got to say, the reason we've done it is because we're not surprised he's got the ability to score. And look, if you're a number nine, you want to score a goal, he's got a goal today.
And just lastly, obviously we played a huge amount of football this season. About 10 of the lads will be off playing for their countries, but the rest of the lads, really important that they do get a bit of time to just get some energy back in those legs.
Yeah, look, we've had 2 big months now, and we'll give the players time off, and they deserved it. They've done well. We've had some games or not, but it's certainly not because of their attitude or the way they apply themselves. They're great boys. Their attitude is superb. It really is, and they're really committed. And they deserve a couple of days off.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
X, before the game, we had our third pre-match event at the Colour Factory. And what an event it was, mate.
Oh, it's amazing, mate. And a lot of people have said the same. You know, we're not, obviously we're going to be biased, but it's the punter's opinion that really counts. And a lot of people have said to us how good it was. And it was. You can't get away from that. You know, Martin's an amazing host. He's very good at getting the best from the guests that he's got with him. He's able to relate it to them rather than necessarily himself, which is real good skill. And I think he really get and he spends time with them. Like, he calls them up during the week before we have the event, and he gets to know them and talks, well, like, you know, what stories are you happy with me sharing? We're going to talk to you about this, going to talk to you about that. And he gets them, the guests, kind of knowing that he's going to cover certain things, which therefore gives him license to cover the more challenging of topics, you know, because they've already been briefed on it, and he knows that the guests are happy with that. Obviously, Martin's a very funny person as well, so that humour comes across, and he gets that out of the guests as well. And I thought the atmosphere was great. The people that came, every guest seemed really up for it, seemed really appreciative of the event we'd put on. And I thought it was an amazing atmosphere, really, really good, and really, really pleasing to see that our move to the Colour Factory is starting to, you know, get more people there and get a good reputation. So yeah, buzzing. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and a great performance from Marlon and Anton as well. Two cracking lads, definitely. Great players in their day. And do you know what? I mean, I knew they were friends, but I didn't realise just how close they were. Mm-hmm. And that really came across on stage as well. And one skill that Martin has is that he really finds the balance between honesty, subjects that are very close to them that isn't typically discussed, and humour. It collectively adds all of those ingredients into such a great Q&A, and it's a pleasure to have him. And it's just a joy to be a part of. It really is. It's nothing better than seeing West Ham fans leave with a smile on their face. You know,
100%. And
we've had a contributing factor in that happening. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. But one thing that made me laugh. So obviously it was Remembrance Sunday. Mm-hmm. I haven't even spoke to you about this, but obviously you were there. It was Remembrance Sunday yesterday, and we'd pre-agreed, rightfully so.
I found this funny as well. I mean, I know what you're going to say. I won't spoil it, but I can tell.
And everyone there will know as well, but we'd agreed that we would have a two-minute silence, and I'm sure most people know that every two-minute silence is started by a song, a bugle playing, which is the last post. And it's about 90 seconds long, and it signifies the start of a two-minute silence. So when that ends, the silence begins. So I've started to play it, and everyone is instantly silent. So we've got 200 West Ham fans there. You could hear a pin drop. So the second it finishes, everyone's heads down and deep in thought. Now, I'm positioned, I call it the gorilla cage. I'm literally the other side of the room to Martin, facing him on stage. So there's a bit of a distance between us. So everyone's in deep thought and it's silent. And all of a sudden, I've heard, "Dave, is that the end of the two-minute silence or the beginning?" And we're having to fucking talk to each other during a two-minute silence. I said, "It's the beginning, Mark." He went, "Oh, okay, like that." But what makes me laugh is thinking about it, right? How can that be the end of the silence? We haven't even had any fucking silence yet. The bugle playing for the last 90 seconds. I just found that quite comical.
I know. I did. I, at the time, I was funny as well. And I was so cringy as well, because it's like, he must have done a minute, 2 minute silence before. Like, so he knows the bugle plays, and then he stands. He was obviously so enthusiastic to get through his questions that he lost concept of what was going on. But yeah, it's funny when you said I must talk about it immediately. I knew that was what it was going to be because it was quite wrongly amusing, I guess.
it was, and the thing is as well. It was visually funny because the way Martin, he obviously felt that he had to interrupt a 2 minute silence to say something so that he's got the right understanding of what's going on. But he also knew it was wrong to interrupt the 2 minute silence.
Yeah.
So he's saying it very slowly and riddled with guilt while staring at the floor like a naughty schoolboy. So visually it was very funny as well. But everyone took it in the right way and it was a nice touch. And obviously remembering all of our fallen heroes, which was the right thing to do. But talking of events, we have another cracking one lined up for you on Wednesday, the 22nd of November, where we return to La Quinta's in Benfleet. Cracking venue, that. And that's going to be from 7 till 10. It's hosted by Mad Dog. And the two special guests taking part in that live interactive Q&A will be Ginger Pelle himself, James Collins, and Matty Everington. Tickets are available to purchase online, and if you're a Patreon, you can pay on the door, on the night, at a discounted rate. X, another one to look forward to, mate.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. Like, we've really started to think about the sort of pairings of the guests that we have at our events. Like, obviously, we had this season, we had individuals up until this one here, but then we thought, oh, actually, if we can manage it cost effectively, it's great to have a pairing, and a pairing that get on really well. So Anton and Marlon, we obviously knew, play for the same team, were good mates during that time. You know, I remember seeing them both at Faces and Time Envy and Romford regularly when I was there back in the day. And so we knew that they were going to have great chemistry, and we found out that they were roommates and stuff, which I didn't actually know that much, but they were roommates when they were at West Ham. They had great banter. Kevin Keane and Mark, Kevin Keane and Kenny Brown are our next pre-match event before the Wolves game. They've obviously played together, they work together now as academy, and we're going to have Mark Phillips there as well, who's also good mates with them. So it's going to be really great, you know, talk about them as playing, then talk about the academy. So that's before the Wolves game, and then the event you just mentioned there, Ginge and Matty were best men at each other's weddings. Yeah. So you know, you're gonna get some absolute brilliant banter between the two of them. You know, Matty's got a really interesting story because, you know, it's been well documented his struggles off the pitch. He's very open about that. Ginge obviously spent two periods at West Ham and was recently a West Ham player and has played under David Moyes and does the podcast for West Ham now, so still very much involved with current West Ham. So it's going to be a great event, as you rightly said, and La Quinta's is a brilliant venue. There's loads of parking there, so if you want to drive there, then there's loads of parking. It's really well priced, really well located. We've got some great auction and raffle items that are going to be available to bid and raffle for. And it'll be a great event, like the last one was with Julian and George Paris. Mad Dog's hosting, obviously. So yeah, can't wait. Can't wait for that.
It's a lot of good fun, and talking of fun, I just suddenly had a flashback. I haven't made a note of this, but this also made me laugh. And those that were there will in attendance will know what I'm saying. When Anton and Marlon were on stage, because they have got a lot of banter between them, and it sounds like the dressing room they were a part of collectively did, to be honest with you, but they had so much fun every day. And Anton said that when Marlon signed and he's training, Anton's racking his brains because he's thinking, he really reminds me of someone, Marlon, but I can't put my finger on it. And it was driving him mad. He's like, what is it? Have I seen him before? Like, does he remind me of someone? And he's really, really scrambling his brains. And all of a sudden, a penny dropped on the training pitch because as the ball was coming over to Marlon, apparently, the light bulb moment went. And he said to everyone on the pitch said, fucking hell, I've realised who it is. It's Homer Simpson. And I tell you what, I can't unsee that now. Since he said that, and bless you, Marlon, I can't unsee that. It's fucking uncanny, isn't it?
I can see that similarity. I think, luckily for Marlon, when he talks, he comes across as a lot more intellectual than Homer Simpson. I can see that similarity, definitely.
Yeah, that was really funny. Really funny. Well, last Thursday saw another European night at the London Stadium. For different reasons, it was a must-win game. It wasn't the prettiest of performances, X, as we said, but we got the win we desperately needed. What was your take on that?
That's the simplest. You've just described it there. It wasn't a great performance at all. It was boring at times. I took my daughter to her first game this season, and you know, I had to get permission for her to be up that late, etc., etc. And sadly for her, it wasn't a great game at all. Really, very, very boring. But unfortunately, that often happens, particularly in Europe. You know, when European teams know how to play act, and let's be honest, they were rolling around with head injuries very frequently. The ref wasn't strong enough to pick them up for it. In fact, I thought the ref was terrible in that game. And, you know, at the end of the day, though, we needed to come out with the 3 points, and we did exactly that. You know, we beat Freiburg in the next game, and then we've got a bye, basically, against the Serbian team, Topolo, whatever their name was. Because if we beat the German team, we can't be overtaken. So that gives us at least 3 games off, because we'd have won the group, which gives you your pass through the playoff, and you would have bypassed that last game of the season where you could just play academy players.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't the most riveting performance to watch, but it was definitely worth being there live in attendance just to see that pass from James Ward-Prowse and that finish from Lucas. I mean, it's one of those, X, isn't it, that if Messi would have made that pass, Sky Sports would be playing it every single day, probably for the rest of your life. But James Ward-Prowse, again, thankfully for us, massively underrated. And it just goes to show what he's got in his locker outside of set pieces, because I just don't think people were talking about that pass enough. It was absolute poetry, that, wasn't it? Such an important time as well, and a great finish from Lucas.
Yeah, massively. And I think also it's worth stating, obviously, Lucas has got 2-2 now from following on from his suspension. And that's the one thing I've always been a little bit critical of him. Like, he's great. Like, his overall play is really good. But his actual key moments, does he get enough assists? Does he get enough goals? And he's obviously got 2 goals in a row now. So that's really good. And hopefully he can build on that as well. But yeah, a great ball. The moment of magic to separate the two teams. He was massively onside, so the goal was spoilt for me because it had a massive VAR check unnecessarily after that one when he was clearly onside. And good finish. And as I say, that you can't, you know, obviously we want West Ham to play amazing in every single game and batter teams and play brilliant football and so on, but with the sheer number of games that we have this season, it isn't physically possible with the squad we have to be on point every single game. The key thing for us now this season, at times, yes, we'll have games where we play well. I actually think, you know, I've seen people moaning about the Forest game. I actually thought it was all right. You know, it wasn't an amazing performance, but it was a good performance. But there'll be times where we just need to grind out a result. And Thursday was that perfect example, and we needed to get the team right so that we could then get a result against Forest, which we also did. And, you know, as I said at the start of the show, if we can win the group, you know, we won't have a European game till, what is it, March time, I think, off the top of my head. So that would give us a bit more of a rest. You know, if we can beat Liverpool, obviously that's a tough game, but you know, we got a semi-final there and hopefully a final. It's things aren't as negative as I feel that they come across on social media sometimes. You know, we all have a moan, we all have a bitch about you know, when we played badly and stuff. But if you'd said to me, regardless of the performance, regardless of, you know, the style of play, etc., just the simple facts that we sit 9th quarterfinals and top of a European group, I think it's not as bad as people make out. And people would fans of so many other clubs would love to be in our position right now.
Interesting. It's always nice going into international break as well, isn't it, with a win?
Yeah, that's important, mate. It's really important. Yeah, it is. That 3 points and the game against Olympiacos was very important to go into the international break with that, because had we lost that Forest game, and the Olympiacos game, let's just say, had we lost both of them, the negativity would have been rife. You know, you'd have had people calling Moyes out all over the shop, and negativity would have really set in. And then you've got 2 weeks just to recycle that negativity over and over again, which just makes the problem worse. Now it feels like, you know, things haven't been amazing, but they've not been terrible. We've got a good platform now to hopefully try and kick on, you know. And by the time the international break's over, we'll be at the end of November. Then it gives you another month until the transfer window where we might be able to do something. So, you know, I think I think it was really important to get those wins, really important. And it's a, and we go into the international break now, where I think everyone should have a, and I mean this as fans as well, have a break from West Ham, recharge the batteries, because there's been a lot of games recently. Watch England, and you know, the games are reasonably insignificant now, aren't they? I think we've already qualified, so you know, the games are pretty insignificant. I think I might be wrong on that, but and just let our, refresh our minds, come back for that Burnley game, which is very winnable, you know, because I'd say at the moment they're the, probably the worst team in the league. And it's very winnable. And if we can win that, then it'll be a good start. Then we've got Palace after that, I think, from memory. And probably another European game. So we can qualify for the top of the group with that game. If we win those, going to Palace, it's a, you know, we could be in a very good position. So let's just recharge the batteries, everyone, the players, the manager, the fans, and then come back positive for the Burnley game.
Okay, it's time to see what's what.
Calling all West Ham fans. Are you a patron of the West Ham way? If not, why not? For the price of a pint, you get top quality content on a daily basis, to include the famous West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X, over 100 interviews with ex-players and celebrity fans, Mad Dog Bites with Martin Allen, a show with Tony Cotty, the U Irons podcast, the West Ham Way USA, a transfer window show with Demis Sheff, an expert pre-match analysis. There are virtual events with ex-players, written articles, match day discussion, away day burger reviews, in-depth match reports, and if you want to be the first to get reliable, accurate, exclusive news on all club affairs, you'll get exactly that from the best ITK in the business, ex-West Ham United employee. All that and more delivered to your phone for a fiver a month. It's the daddy.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.